And as we come back together here today, we are returning to our study through the Gospel of Luke. So if you have a copy of God's Word with you, and my encouragement to you is to have one with you each Sunday and to open it up to follow along. Turn it to the Gospel of Luke, to Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. Let me read this passage to us and then have a word of prayer. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, verse 23, he was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me at my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, as we bow before you, pray by your Spirit would help us to understand these words that you proclaimed that have been preserved and written down by the inspiration of the Spirit of God through the hand of Luke. And so, Lord, help us to see the call, the commitment that is required of us being a follower of yours. Open eyes here today, Lord, of those who need to become a follower of Christ, who need to believe in Christ. Pray your Spirit, your grace will so work in their hearts. And Lord, I pray for us as believers that we will grow today and be reminded of the commitment we have made to Christ and what that should mean for our life. Bring conviction where there needs to be a confession and a repentance of our sin. And Lord, bring strength and encouragement by your grace. So Lord, we entrust this all to you as our Lord and our God. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we come to this passage, just give you a quick recap. When we were together a couple of weeks ago, if you recall back in verses 21 and 22, it's where Jesus was enlarging the confession and enlarging the understanding and the comprehension of his disciples about his mission, about his plan, about what it is that God was doing. Because up to this point, and there's been about a year and a half to close to 2 years that Jesus has been ministering, proclaiming the truth, that he finally explicitly states about his being rejected, his suffering, his dying, and his being raised up on the third day. And as we alluded to last time we were together, his disciples did not understand that. They're not really going to understand it until we get on the other side of the cross. And if you recall, it was the Apostle Peter who even immediately said, that's recorded for us not here in Luke 9, but it's recorded over in Matthew 16, who said, "May that never be. God forbid that to happen. God forbid that you would be rejected. God forbid that you would suffer and die on the cross." So Jesus is trying to help them to understand that. But after he has now said that to them, he then turns and says, if you notice, not just to his apostles, he is saying it to all of them, all of the crowd, all the disciples, all those that would be there that would be in some sense probably saying, "We've identified with Jesus." In light of that message that he is now sharing with them about his suffering, that he's on a death march to the cross, he now turns to them and talks to them about their commitment, about what it is have they really signed up for when they say they want to be a follower of Christ. It's interesting, as a young boy growing up in the South, growing up in Louisiana in a Southern Baptist church, each Sunday at the end of the service, there would be an evangelistic invitation that would be given. And often a song that was chosen, I believe it's the song maybe is even used quite often at the end of the Billy Graham Crusades was just as I am. Just as I am. And really, those are some precious words that would be a part of the lyrics of that song, where it says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. The song was really a call to come to Jesus for salvation. And I share that with you, beloved, because here in our passage, Jesus was and is speaking to anyone, whoever says they desire to come after him. Anyone who desires to answer that call and come to him, come after him. Notice again, it says, if anyone wishes to come after me, whoever wishes to save his life, whoever will lose his life, whoever is ashamed of me and my words. Jesus was wanting them to understand who and what it is that they were committing to when they say, Jesus, we're coming after you. In some sense, beloved, what we're talking about is an aspect of saving faith. You see, when someone puts faith in Jesus as Savior, they're saying that Jesus is their only hope. He's the only hope for the forgiveness of their sins. He's the only hope for the righteousness of God to be imputed to them. When someone's putting faith in Jesus as their Savior, they are confessing Him as God. They're confessing Him as the promised Messiah. They're confessing Him as the God-man who is the Redeemer. Saving faith means they have a right comprehension and confession about the death of Jesus, that He died as the Lamb of God to take away our sins, and that God raised Him from the dead on the third day. But beloved, also a part of that same saving faith is a commitment to the Lordship of Christ. It's a commitment to Christ. You see, Jesus did not proclaim or leave the option that one could come and confess Him and embrace Him as Savior, but never embrace Him as Lord. No, not here in this passage. He makes it very clear to all those who are saying and desiring to come after Him. He's making it very clear to them that there will be a cost to it. He's making it clear that whoever it is that comes after Him, what that means for them is what they will call for to them, what He'll call out to them, what's required of them, what's expected of them as a follower, as a disciple of Christ. And He gives it to us. If you notice, go back to our text. He gives it to us in three exhortations, followed by really just three explanations. He first says, here's what, if you desire to come after me, here's what's required of you. And then he says, and here's why. Here's why this is. The three what's, I would give you just maybe three key words to remember for your own heart. Denial, death or dying, and devotion. That is, if someone is coming after Christ, they are making a commitment to a life of denial, a life of death, a life of devotion. A denial of oneself, a death to oneself, and a devotion to the Savior, a devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of suffering. It's a life of shame. It's a life of submission. Someone may be sitting there thinking here this morning already, well, why would anyone sign up for that? Why would I sign up for a life of denying myself? Why would I sign up for a life of death, dying? Why would I sign up for a life of submission? Well, He'll answer that for us when we look at the three explanations that are given for us there in verses 24 to 26, where He will make it very clear, because it's worth it. It is worth it. So, beloved, in coming to Jesus, in coming to Jesus for salvation, one is making these three commitments in their faith in Christ. These three commitments of the Lordship of Christ. The first one is committing their life to a life of denying of oneself. Committing to a life of the denying of one's self. Notice again, he says in verse 23, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. The idea there of deny really is to renounce or to denounce something. It's the same word that is used when it's describing Peter, when it is Peter who is confronted by the three girls or the ladies there, and what is it? He denies Christ. He's denying Christ. And here, notice again what Jesus is saying. He's saying the person must deny themselves. It's not necessarily saying deny certain things to yourself. You have to actually deny yourself. What does he mean by that? Well, one thing he would mean by that is you're going to deny all self-attempts for salvation. You're going to abandon all efforts for your own salvation. You're going to recognize, as we've just been singing this morning, the songs that Johnny had us singing all are talking about the old rugged cross, all of what Christ has accomplished. He's accomplished it all. And a person must abandon and denounce themselves and say, I have nothing to offer in my salvation. Again, this is what the Apostle Paul came to realize when he was truly converted. He truly came to know Jesus as Savior and as his Lord. He shares this with us. Listen to this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. And more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered. I've suffered the loss of all things. And here's how I consider those things. I consider those things now as rubbish. They're garbage. They mean nothing to me anymore. Why? Because I wanted to gain Christ. I could not gain Christ if I still was trying to hold on to these things. If I was still trying to hold on to that, the fact that I had been circumcised, the fact that I was a Jew and that I was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews and of the law, I was a Pharisee. As long as I kept trying to hang on to something, I could not gain Christ. I had to be willing to deny myself. I had to be willing to abandon all attempts, anything I was relying on for redemption with God. Paul is really just saying the same thing Jesus is saying. Let him deny himself of any self-attempts at salvation. But also, beloved, this denying of yourself is also a renouncing of your own self agendas, your own self-interests. I mean, does it not strike you that Jesus says this right after he just told Peter, you are thinking about yourself. You're thinking about man's interest. You're not thinking about God's interest. If you were thinking about God's agenda and God's plan and God's interest, you would never have said, may it never be that I would suffer and die on the cross. Peter was going to have to come to recognize he had to put his agenda, his interest to the side and say, now, Lord God, your agenda, your interest is what will rule. I'm willing to deny myself. I'm willing to put all that aside. You see, it says again, as the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 2 and verse 20, he says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, and I live it in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, I'm the one who no longer lives. As I live this life now in the flesh, as one who's been saved by the grace of God, who's put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is now the Lord Jesus Christ in His life that's going to be living through me. It's His life, it's not mine. The Apostle Paul also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, he says, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, and listen carefully, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves." Well, who do they live for? He says, "But for him who died and rose again on their behalf." You see, when the love of Christ, when Christ's love for us is controlling us, it is moving us to live not for ourselves, but to live for Christ. No longer do we live for ourselves. Basically, what all this is saying is, my life is His. My life is His. And Jesus knows they're going to need to hear this. Because some tough times are coming, and they're going to need to hear, if you really desire, you wish, that is, you have this strong desire to come after me. Knowing that there was quite a few in that crowd still that were there for the food. They were there for the favor. They were there for the miracles. They were there for all the things that were wonderful and going on. And Jesus is letting them know, if you're really here, you're coming after me, you're going to have to deny yourself. But secondly, look back in verse 23. In coming to Christ, you're also making a second commitment. You're committing to a life of suffering and shame. That is, you're committing to a life of dying, to the dying of oneself. To the dying of oneself. That's what he means there when he says, "And let him take up his cross daily." Obviously, this crowd that Jesus is teaching and talking to understands the implications of being told of taking up one's cross every day. He's saying you had to make a commitment to a life of potentially suffering, shame, persecution, and maybe even actual death. You see, being a disciple of Christ is not for the faint-hearted. And this does not fit, beloved, with the wealth and health and prosperity preaching and gospel. Those false teachers that are teaching those damning doctrines. Not when Jesus says you've got to take up your cross daily. You've got to deny yourself. Because at this time, remember, they're protected. They've been protected because of Jesus. And still at this moment, Jesus is still largely popular. Now, he's not popular with the religious leaders. But overall, still, there's a massive amount of people that are still popular and fond of Jesus. And why wouldn't they be when you can sit down on a mountainside and he can take a little small amount of bread and fish and feed 15 to 20,000 people? And he can heal, walk into a community and heal every disease, every demon-possessed person, every sickness, everything that's going on there. He's still very popular. But beloved, all that's going to change. Because what he said was going to happen is going to happen. He's going to suffer many things in verse 22. He's going to be rejected. He's going to be killed. He's going to be taken away. And once he's gone, they're going to turn their attention to his followers. They're going to turn their attention to his disciples. And even Jesus warned them, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. You're not above me. If they've come after me, they're going to come after you. And what do we see when we get into the book of Acts? What do we see when we read in epistles like 1 Peter and the epistle of James? What do we see? Christians scattered. Scattering because of the persecution for their faith. Beloved, as the Apostle Paul said, all who desire to live godly will be persecuted. As the Apostle Paul also said to the church at Philippi, God has not only granted you that you believe, but he also has granted you that you will suffer. And remember something. Go back to Luke chapter 6 for a moment. Luke chapter 6. Could we turn the heater off? I appreciate it. Or I can calm down, one or the other. Probably turn the heater off. Luke chapter 6. Remember what Jesus already said to them? In verse 20, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, they ostracize you, they insult you, and they scorn your name as evil. And why are they doing this? For the sake of the Son of Man. Jesus has already been warning them. The blessed person's going to be the one that's going to end up poor, hungry, hurting, weeping, ostracized, insulted, hated, scorned, treated awfully. Why? Because of him. He knows that day's coming. He knows it's coming for them. And he's saying to them, if you desire to come after me, you're going to have to be willing to take up your cross daily. Beloved, as Christianity, even in our society, has less and less influence, as things go from bad to worse, as the difficult times come, we are called to continue in the things we have learned and known to be true. We are called to still be loyal to Christ, knowing as what that the Apostle Paul says, again, just listen to this, over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verses 11 through 13, he says, it is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. But if we deny him, he also will deny us. If we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Or as he said to his young protege Timothy in the ministry, over in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, for this reason I suffer these things. For what reason? For the gospel, for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. I suffer, but he says, I am not ashamed, because I know, I am convinced, and I believe that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. The Apostle Paul clearly understood things were going to go bad to worse. The gospel will be advancing. And people are being saved, and God is building his church. As Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades cannot prevail against it. But there is still going to be a headwind that we're always living in. And we have to be committed to take up our cross daily and to suffer the reproach, the shame. Because even back in our text in Luke 9, when you think about it, I mean, when Jesus says there in verse 20, whoever is ashamed of me and my words. That idea of being ashamed is whoever looks at me and identifying with me and identifying with my words as being something shameful, a reproach. He knows that's what's coming. And that's the world that they were going to be living in, beloved, that's the world that we still live in today. It's as the Apostle Paul said over in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. And think about that. He's teaching this to all the churches. So this is not just a particular church in a particular community. He goes back to Iconium, Lystra. He goes back to all these churches where he has already preached the gospel. The churches have been planted. The churches have been started. Then Paul would come back and listen to what it says. He says, I'm here strengthening them and I'm encouraging them in their faith. How is he strengthening and encouraging them? He's telling them, you are going to enter the kingdom of God through tribulation. That's what you're going to go through. I'm here to encourage you, persevere in the faith. Why? Because this is the way it's going to be. This should strengthen your faith. Beloved, it is true. As Scripture says, we have not been destined in God's plan for His wrath for the day of the Lord. The Scripture also says we have been destined for affliction. Everyone's not destined for the same level or intensity of affliction and tribulation, but it has been granted to all of us on some level. Thus, in coming to Christ and coming after Christ, you and I are and have committed to take up our cross and identify with that suffering, identify with that shame, identify with that reproach that may come. Identify with that life of suffering, even if it brings us to the point of death. You see, we're going to have to be like what the Apostle Paul was saying there to Timothy. He says, I know I'm going to suffer, but he says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the testimony of Christ. I will take the reproach upon me. I will fill up the afflictions of Christ in that sense. I will join in His suffering. Paul even says, I want to join in the sufferings of Christ. We just were singing the old rugged cross. What is it? What did we sing? It's an emblem of what? Suffering and shame. Of suffering and shame. Now listen, we will not do this perfectly. There will be times when we will fail miserably. We're still sinners. And we just read it in Romans 7. There's the things we know we're supposed to do, and sometimes we're just not going to do it. Again, I think about the Apostle Peter, a man that I just mentioned to you that we'll find out later on in the Gospel of Luke that denies Jesus three times. It was Peter and Barnabas that got intimidated by some other folks that were denying that a person was saved by grace alone, through faith alone, until Paul showed up. So it's not that we're going to do all of this perfectly. We're not. But we need to understand this is a commitment that we've made. This is a commitment that we make when we come to Jesus and come after Him. Is a life of denying of ourselves. It's a life of dying to ourselves. And I would say thirdly, beloved, from our passage in Luke 9, it is a life of devotion to Christ. I mean, at the end, he says there, and follow me. That's in the present tense. You see, the way he actually said this and the way it's written for us, he says that in coming to Christ, you have said, I have made a commitment. I've committed to a life of sacrifice, a life of suffering, and I'm going to live those commitments out as I submit to following Jesus Christ. Now, for us, submitting to Christ is submitting to the Word of God. Thus, in every area of our lives, whether it's personally, in our homes, in our church, in our society, in our community, wherever we are, we're just saying we're going to follow Jesus. And we follow Jesus by His grace and by His Spirit, seeking to follow what the Word of God says. Now again, as the other, we will not always do this. Sometimes we will look to compromise. Again, I'm reminded of what Paul was saying to young Timothy. It's interesting, the same Timothy that over in the book of Philippians, Paul says, I have no one better to send to you except Timothy. This is a faithful man. This is a man who has my heart. This is a man who has the interest of Christ above all other interests. This is a man that knows how to deny himself. This is a man who's shown he's able to take up his cross and he will follow Christ. He has demonstrated that to me. But this is the same Timothy that Paul has to address in 2 Timothy, who is being intimidated, who's being timid, who's becoming ashamed of the testimony of Christ. He's becoming ashamed of the gospel. He's even becoming ashamed of associating with Paul. And that's why Paul encourages Timothy, join in the suffering. Retain the standard of sound words. Guard the gospel. Guard the word. Remember, God hasn't given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. Don't be ashamed, Timothy. And that's what God has called us to. He's called us to a life of devotion, to following Him. By following His word. So again, I ask the question, why would or should anyone commit to this? Why would anyone come after Christ knowing that this is what it could cost me? I have to die to myself. I have to die to, be willing to deny myself and die to myself and be totally submitted to following Christ, no matter the cost. And you're telling me there is going to be a cost to it. There's going to be some shame, some suffering. There's going to be some reproach. Why would I do that? Well, because eternity is at stake. Because of the explanations that the Lord gives. Look back in verse 24 to 26 and notice each of these statements begin with the word for. He's given an explanation. Why you would do this? For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. What is he saying there? He's saying, here's why you should do this. Because if you choose not to, and instead you choose to preserve your life and preserve your way of life, that's what he's speaking about in verse 24. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, he's the one that will save it. If it is a greater priority to someone that they are going to preserve their life, their physical life, and they're even going to preserve their way of life, Jesus says you lose. If someone chooses not to come to Christ in the way he has said. But instead, as he talks about in verse 25, for what is a man profited if he gains the whole world? He chooses then to pursue the world and the profitability of the world, all that he can gain from the world. Jesus says, you lose. Or in verse 26, whoever is ashamed of me and my words. That is basically saying if someone says, look, I'm not going to identify with Christ in that way. I'm going to choose the praise and the approval and the glory that comes from man and from this world. Jesus says, you lose. You may have temporary gain. Temporarily, you may preserve your life and preserve your way of life. Temporarily, you may be very profitable and you may gain the whole world. And temporarily, you may have all the praise and the approval that a man and mankind in this world can offer. But what he's saying is, in gaining all that, what you're losing is your soul. Eternally, you're losing. And you're going to actually lose all this in the end. I mean, in the end, all this life you're trying to preserve is going to be gone. Your way of life is going to be gone. All your profits and gain are going to be gone. All the praise and the approval is going to be gone. You're going to lose it in the end. You're going to end up forfeiting, he says, your soul for this. And you're forfeiting the praise and the acceptance of the Lord. Because as he said, because when the Son of Man will be ashamed of him, who's he saying? I'm going to be ashamed of whoever's ashamed of me. Who's ever ashamed of my words? I'll be ashamed of him when I come in glory. You see, beloved, it's worth it. It's worth it. The promises of life eternal, the kingdom of God and the eternal state, the praise and the acceptance of Jesus, it's all worth it. And I know it's hard. It is hard. I mean, basically, Jesus has laid it out there for them and said, look, let's say every single person here today in this sanctuary, that every single one of you owned 1,000 acres. And on those 1,000 acres, every single one of us has a house of 10,000 square feet with a 10-car garage and 10 nice cars in all the garages. And more than enough money in our bank account. And we have a large family that fills this 10,000 square foot home. And our family's all together. And all things are good. And we're thought well of in this world. And Jesus comes along and says, come follow me. And in following me, you're going to have to give all that up. Would you do it? Or would you fight to preserve your way of life? Jesus is saying, look, I'm coming to be your Savior and your Lord. I'm worth it. It's worth it. Yes, in the here and now, you may suffer some loss. Again, it's not that all of us are going to be in the same place. There are people in the world right now today that are facing way more persecution and suffering than any of us ever have and probably ever will. Of people that I've heard and seen of their stories, like over in China, that have come to put their faith in Christ and just trying to have a copy, just some of the pages of the Bible, and they're being beaten to death for it. Or the story of, I heard of a Muslim young man that came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord, and basically his dad told him, you're dead to me. It's as though I don't know you anymore. You have nothing to do with us. But each one of those people would say, Jesus is worth it. I'm coming after Jesus, and I'm going to deny myself, and I'm going to take up my cross, and I'm going to follow him no matter what. I know he's the Savior and the Lord. And just so you know, this kind of faith, this kind of commitment really has always been the way God has designed it. I say that because of, just look over just one moment as we close. Look over in the book of Hebrews for a moment. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 and the wonderful faith chapter. It talks about some of the awful things that people went through. But just listen to these words. Hebrews chapter 11, just beginning in verse 13, it says, all these died in faith, but they died without receiving the promises. But having seen them, having welcomed them from a distance, having confessed that they were strangers and they were exiles on the earth, for though they say such things, for those who say such things, make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God, here it is not ashamed to be called their God. And He's prepared a city for them. See, this is the way it's always been. It goes on to talk about in this chapter about those that were killed, mocked, scourged, imprisoned, chained. But they were living by faith. And they died. They died in faith. They had come to God and they believed God and they were following God and they lived that. They understood we're a stranger, we're in exile right now, but we know the promises of God are going to be true. They lived by faith. And really, beloved, that's what Jesus is calling on them to do there in Luke 9. Live by faith. If you want to come after me in living by faith, just deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. It's worth it. It's worth it. Is what you will gain. You may not gain it in this life, but there is a life to come that you will gain it. And it'll be way more than anything in this world and this life has to offer. Way more. So yes, beloved, understanding all of that, I'm saying to you this morning, I'm saying to some of you this morning, just as you are, without one plea. Christ's blood as the Lamb of God was shed for thee. And He bids you now come to thee. So come. Say, I come. I come after Him. I know what it means to come after Him. I know He's my only hope. I know what it means if I do. But I know it's worth it. And I will come. But also I would say this for us as believers. This message and these words are a good opportunity for all of us to do a checkup on how are we doing. How are we doing at denying ourselves? Of making sure our interest, our agenda is God's. How are we doing it, dying to ourselves and taking up our cross? Are we putting to death our sin? Are we willing to suffer reproach? How are we doing in being devoted to the Scriptures, devoted to the Savior, no matter the cost? Because I know there were some that day, especially as apostles, they would need to hear that were true believers. And to know what God and what the Lord Jesus was calling on them, requiring of them. However God's dealing with your heart, I pray you will respond in loving obedience. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads in prayer for a moment. I want to give you an opportunity just to reflect and respond even now, initially in your own heart, to the Lord, to the Word of God. Come after Christ. Desire Him. Want Him above all things. Oh, Lord God, truly bless your word in our hearts today. Bless it in my heart. Work in me, Lord, to be committed to taking up my cross, to dying, to denying devotion to you. Lord, help us to see there's nothing in this world that's worth losing our soul. There's nothing in this world that's worth eternity. It's all passing away. So, Lord, bless your word to draw people to yourself for salvation. Bless your word in helping us as believers to grow in our commitment to you, all by your grace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.